And it's on page 771. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia of Libya, near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
So this Pentecost Sunday, actually, with all the talk of spirit, got me thinking about one of my fondest memories of high school. You know, that was just a few days ago, right? Back in the day. And that was actually as a cheerleader. You know, and we used to always get the crowds going with our spirited yells. One was, do you remember this? Lean to the left, lean to the right, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. Anybody heard that one? Well, I'm glad there's a few nods. Yeah. Whenever our hockey or football team seemed to hit a dry spot, we would eye the stands and we'd yell out, "We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. How about you?" That's right. So this is what kind of came tumbling back to me as I thought about this experience of the early church, that small group of people on that first Pentecost. They were a small group of people who had committed to a shared life and a purpose. Hear what the scripture says. It says, "Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." That's in Acts 4:32. When we look back to this, it's often been seen as a vision of what the faith community can be. It's actually seen as, it's been referred to as the church in the Holy Spirit flow state, is what it's been referred to. It's an idealized picture of what the life of the body of Christ can look like when lived through the Holy Spirit. It's a vision of discipleship that's characterized by selflessness and grace and power and boldness, devotion, compassion, and an unyielding commitment to Jesus and to his justice. This flow state of being in the Holy Spirit, as I said earlier, was anything but calm. It certainly wasn't predictable, and neither was it quiet. If you've got the wind blowing through there and you got flame separating people, there was a sense of fire and water and chaos and darkness and uttering strange things. This gathering was propelled through the Spirit from sadness to joy and from survival to revival, to become all that God needed them to be in pretty scary circumstances. So when we celebrate Pentecost, as we do each year in the church calendar, we honor the historic birth of the church. And that's a good and a right thing to do. And I think at the same time, we need to be cautious. We can't let this just become a dull history lesson of remembering something in the past. Jesus said to all believers, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." He's saying that to them and to every disciple since, so it's being said to us. All baptized believers from that day forward, right now to the present, are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost didn't just happen once a long time ago. It's not a one-and-done event. The early church is an example and shows us what's possible when you live in the Spirit. But we need to step into that flow state today as much as they ever did back then. Because, you know, if we think about what that flow state looks like from that day, it looks like a body that was brought together as one, in spite of differences, in spite of different cultures, different languages, different traditions, different beliefs, different interpretations and different theologies. All of this was mixed together into one body. Pentecost is the good news of the salvation that comes for everyone. It's not limited to a few. When the Holy Spirit came, it was interesting because He didn't restore humanity to a common language. In fact, by everyone speaking a different language, the Holy Spirit declared all languages holy and equally worthy of God's stories. He spoke everyone's language. He wove the flow of diversity and inclusiveness into the very fabric of the church. It's in how we speak and how we praise and how we worship and how we claim and share the message of love that he calls us to share. I think because he did that, because the Holy Spirit honored all the different languages, I think God is saying in effect that his church, from the very beginning, needed to honor the boundless variety and creativity of human voices and of humanity in general, because it takes every voice and every tongue to declare the glory of God. Not because multiculturalism is progressive or fashionable or because the church is even politically correct, but because God's deeds themselves demand such a diverse telling. You know, could it be that there's no single language on all of earth that can capture and express all the deeds of God? Is it possible that there's no single form of praise and worship that can totally honor and glorify God? Jesus told the disciples when the Holy Spirit fell upon them that they would be empowered. They would be able to step into the flow of the Holy Spirit. They would be able to share their faith and live with confidence and claim the power of God in their lives reach out in mercy and love to share in ways that they couldn't do without being in that flow, without the power of the Holy Spirit. In essence, what God was saying to that diverse, mixed group is that this spirit-drenched place, this fledgling little new church, this body of Christ, God is saying to everyone, is yours, is everyone's. You don't need to feel like an outsider here. We speak your language. Come in, and feel at home. The Spirit speaks the same word to us right here, right now, to each one of us as individuals and as a body of Christ. We are his fledgling church in today's world, and I think he's asking us to think about the language that we may need to learn to speak in order to speak his love into the context of our day. It might be a digital language. It might be the language of social media. Might be web-based missions and outreach. Might be the language of blended worship that multiple generations can understand and relate to, from, you know, the traditionalists straight through the baby boomers to Gen X and Y and Z and the iGens and everyone that goes on from here. Maybe it's the language of community. Maybe it's the language of welcome because someone's lonely. Maybe it's a language of love that's defined by the needs and the interests of people other than us. You know, I don't know if you ever tried to learn a new language. How many people have tried? Yeah, there's some folks. Or anything new, right? When you try anything new, it's kind of scary. And as an adult, you really don't want to look like you can't do it or you're going to fail. So when we try to learn a new language, it becomes that we have to acquire a servant heart. We have to be willing to be a learner, to speak across the barriers of race and ethnicity and gender and religion and culture and denomination and politics in order to challenge stereotypes and risk swimming upstream, risk being ridiculed. You know, being a learner is a brave and can be a disorienting act. I mean, how often are we willing to step into that kind of disorienting role and learn something new? To go beyond, not give up, I'm not asking you to give up anything, but to go beyond, to merely step out beyond the comfort of what we're accustomed to, our own personal preferences, our own liturgical language and traditions, and explore, maybe even experiment with something that's unfamiliar to us, but familiar to someone else. You know what? Whether we like it or we don't, that's what the Holy Spirit was up to on that first Pentecost. That Holy Spirit required Christ's frightened disciples, and they were frightened, on this birthday of the church to stop huddling in their version of sameness and safety, to throw open their windows and their doors, to feel the pressure of God's hand at their backs, pouring them out into the streets, and they're speaking a new language. When the Holy Spirit came, silence was no longer possible. They were on fire. And you know, something happens when we speak others' languages, whether it's cultural or political or racial or liturgical. We end up experiencing our own limitations to our perspectives. We learn how to be curious, to want to know something more about someone else. We discover that God's great deeds are far too nuanced for a single tongue, a single tone, a single fluency, a single tune. There's no one thing that can capture it all. It's no small thing that the Holy Spirit loosened tongues on the birthday of the church. In the face of difference, all that diversity that was there that day, God compelled his people to engage, to linger, to listen, and to speak a new word, to discover the new possibilities that the Holy Spirit was pointing that fledgling church towards. The new beginnings, the new possibilities. dreaming about the new horizons that God is making possible in their here and now, and in now, ours right now as well. Pentecost is about dreaming as well. Pentecost is an invitation to dream forward. Because you know, when a community of faith stops dreaming, it ends up having very little to offer to members of the wider world. And you know, like any good dream, these dreams involve adopting a perspective on what's possible. It's about rousing our creativity to free us from maybe conventional expectations. Dreams help us see that maybe what we thought was outlandish, impossible. Ah, we tried that, didn't work before. Yeah, you know what? Maybe our timing wasn't God's timing. Those things that seem outlandish with the Spirit all of a sudden become possible. Maybe for you, the dream is about finding freedom from something that's binding you right now, that's holding you back. Maybe for you, it's a dream about justice in your own life or in the life of your loved ones. Maybe it's about dreaming about making a difference or daring to dream about our future and that God is present in our struggles even now. So Pentecost is also an opportunity, an invitation to dream anew, to dream about God possibilities that can come to life when we press in, reach out, when we linger and listen and speak, and we step out of our comfort zones, and we're willing to risk being vulnerable. So what is the Spirit saying to God's people gathered here today? What is he placing on your heart? Back in that day, everybody said, what does it all mean? I think we're still asking that question to some degree. But the Holy Spirit will come in and will answer. Whether we hear it or not is up to us if we have ears to hear. My friends, can you hear what God is doing? Can you hear there's something new that God is doing in our midst? I've heard the sound of the Spirit at work at here at St. Andrews. I've seen in the short time I've been here Pentecost moments when the Spirit continues to fall afresh on us, when people tell me that they sense a renewed spirit and returning joy and anticipation and expectation and a daring to dream about possibilities of stepping up and stepping out into new or reimagined ventures. Can we hear the Holy Spirit at work doing a new thing? Do we want to hear it? Can we hear the Spirit's desire to reform us as a church, to reignite our passion and fire for the gospel and give us new language that speaks into our age, into our time, and into our context now? Can you see what I see? The possibility of standing on the verge of our Pentecost experience? God says, I'm pouring my Spirit out on all people. That's what we celebrate today. That's what we affirm and proclaim. Even today, God's Spirit is being poured out in our midst. The Spirit right now is moving. The Spirit is inviting us to join the dance of God's new creation, of pushing us to leave behind the things that chain us, that press us into an old dream, and to dream with God a new dream, to see with God a new vision, to blaze with God a new trail, and to build with God a new bridge, to give with God a new grace, and to live with God a new life. My friends, take a moment. Breathe out. Let go. Breathe out. Now breathe in and receive Spirit's new oxygen. Let that be the power of your life. Thanks be to God for the Spirit that inspires us all. Let us pray together. Holy God, we thank you for your words on fire that